I don't know what we're going to do. That might come as a surprise to you. But we didn't pass you a program saying at 11:35 the text will be read. In Beaufort County this morning, in the city of Washington, there's a courthouse that's got a jail in it. Let's say there's 100 prisoners in that jail. They think, they feel, they interact, but the difference between those people in that jail and us, they can't leave. They can look through the bars, they can hear the traffic, they can hear all the coming and going, but they can't leave. On these pews this morning in this sanctuary, there are some prisoners. The difference between you and the prisoners downtown, they can't leave, but you can. The door has been opened to the prison. The invitation has been given that you are free to go. You don't have to be shackled anymore. You don't have to hold your head down in shame and frustration anymore. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There'll be no probation officer on your heels seeing if you're obeying and adhering to the deeds that you're supposed to. There's a God that sits high and looks low. And he says to you, if you feel yourself staggering, call on me and I'll answer you. If you feel yourself getting confused, I'll be your counselor. If you feel yourself getting worn out, I'm the rest that you need. I'm everything. I'm the heavenly manna. And I will come to your rescue. Call me, my God. The dilemma is, the heartbreaking dilemma is, the gut-wrenching dilemma is, so many people hear him call, but they don't respond. He said, call upon me, and I will answer you. But we say, you know, we got plenty of time. We won't call upon him, but he's calling on us. This morning in this auditorium, he's calling. I don't hear him with my literal ear. I don't hear him with my sensitivity, but I do know he's speaking to people in these pews today. And he said, now is your time. Now is your day. Atashakalabahutaya. Why would you push him away? He opened the door. He put nail-scarred hands out there and said, I will handle your problems. Am I talking to you? He gave up his identity and took your identity. His identity is God, the Savior, the Redeemer. He gave that up so that you could become a saved, born again. He became like you so that you can become like him. Isn't that awesome? He forgave you so that you could forgive others. He cleansed you so that you could be involved in cleansing others. Today we celebrate Easter. It's kind of like a ritual in the Christian church. We pull the dust off our Bibles and turn to the resurrection chapters and we preach about he lives and tuck it away until next Easter. But I want to tell you, when you walk out of this church, he's still alive. When Christmas comes, he's still alive. When your children are going through hell, he's still alive. When your marriage is on the rocks, he's still alive. When your body is racked with cancer, he's still alive. He's alive. He's alive. Forevermore, he lives. I serve a risen Savior. Glory to God. Tell it to the world today. I just want to follow. I'm praying so desperately in my spirit that I'm following the Spirit of God. Burial. That's what this weekend is all about. The burial and the resurrection of Jesus. He was buried, carried into a tomb, sealed, and he came out of the tomb 3 days later. He came out differently than he went in. He went in, it was sown in weakness, but it was raised in power. He was sown in corruption. He was raised in incorruption. He's better off when he come out than he was when he went in for my sake. It was not a wasted effort. It was not a squandered opportunity. Now, from the day that you were born, you were given an identity, male, female, or whatever. You were given an identity. Hear me, please. As soon as you learn how to do right from wrong, the devil and flesh begin to work to rob your identity, to bury who you are. I'm created in God's image, in the likeness of God. That's not arrogance. And as soon as I understood that, to know that I am not supposed to lie, I'm not supposed to cheat, I'm not supposed to steal, immediately, that's my identity. I'm free of those things. But here comes the devil, and he tries to box me in, and he takes the shovel of sin, and he throws a shovelful upon my head, and I shake it. I'm not talking to anybody. I shake it off. Here comes another shovelful. Process. A year goes by. 2 years go by. All at once, I'm a teenager, and I'm not buried, but I'm well on my way to being buried. What I used to be, I'm no longer. I used to be innocent. I didn't pump drugs in my veins. I didn't take smoke marijuana. I didn't mess around. But somehow or other, shovel after shovel, week after week, year after year, it begins to burden me down. My God, I'm talking to you. And after a while, I wake up one day and I'm more buried than I am not buried. I'm more bound than I am free. I'm more bound than I am liberated. Why? Because the process of burial, he buries your identity. You were born to be free, not born to be bound. You're not born to be under the breath and power of dark. Am I talking to anybody? But my God in heaven, the process of burial, I can handle this. I can, this little sin, it's okay. I can handle it. And the first thing you know, you got 10 over here and 22 over here, and your shoulders, the way of a transgressor is hard. You say, you're not talking to me. Well, I am talking to you, because all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. It took just as much blood to cleanse the righteous man as it does the unrighteous man. It takes just as much power of deliverance to cleanse the man that is good and upstanding than the man in the gutter that's wallowing in his sin. After a while, he buries your identity. Am I talking? Go downtown this morning. Look at your seat, maybe not rampant, but you'll see people staggering around wearing winter clothes in the spring, hadn't taken care of themselves. What happened? Somewhere in their past, they had an identity. Somewhere in their past, they had a mama or a daddy or some relatives that cared about them, but they let themselves get buried until now you're driving out. Who is that? And if they got the mess off of them, if they got cleaned up, if they got squared away, you look, oh my God, that's so-and-so. What happened? They got buried. Their identification got buried. Their slackness caused them to get buried. Now I'm preaching to you. I'm not read a text yet, but I'm preaching to you. Not only do you get your identification buried, and that's what without being arrogant, I'm a child of God. That's my identification. That's my badge of honor. I'm a child of God. And the devil, without honoring him one bit in the world, the devil wants to make sure that he cancels that. Cancels me out. No, he wants to be able to write over my headstone, he was a child of God. He used to be a child of God. I've got to do everything I can to fight for my identity. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery. I've got a responsibility to retain my identification. I need to find out when the burial process, a little bit here and a little bit there, go to this place that's wrong, go to that place that's wrong, do this that's wrong, and the first thing you know, the shackles are on me. I'm like the people downtown in the jail. I can't come out. But not only does he want to bury my identification, he wants to bury my potential. I'm created in God's image. All things are possible to him that believeth God. There's potential in you. Am I talking to you? You say, I don't have talent. Don't tell God what you don't have. He's not interested in hearing your verdict. He wants you to take his verdict. How many people, maybe upon these pews today, you had potential. Growing up through school, you had potential, 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 and the devil come and begin to destroy. There are people walking around that could play music if they would. They could be teachers if they would, but they let the burial process come and bury their potential. There was in the book of Luke. Am I just preaching to myself up here? Oh God. There was in the book of Luke, there is, chapter 15, the story of a young man. He had his father's identification. He had his father's potential. Everything that his father had was his. He had access to it. He didn't have to knock on the door and say, Father, I want a fatted calf. All he had to do is go out to the pen and get the fatted calf. He didn't have to say, I need your charge card. He was honorable. He had his father's identification. He had his father's potential. But somewhere in the process of growing up, he began to hear about what was going on down the highway. He began to hear about what other people were doing. He began to feel the constraints of his father's house, though there were no restraints, but he began to feel it. He began to feel hemmed in. Finally, one day he said, I don't like this. I've got to cut the strings. I've got to fly high. I've got to spread my wings. I just want to experience life. And so he began to break away. Look at him leaving home. Look at him leaving his father's house. He leaves it and he's got the identification. Who are you? My father's back on a couple of miles. Yeah, you look like him. You carry yourself like him. You're good. You're noble. You're upright. You're good. But he goes on down the road and he begins to lose his identification by riotous living. He didn't mean to, but he began to forget. He got buried. I mean, a shovelful here, a basket here, a little bit here, until he spent everything. Spent it all. And he didn't look like his father anymore. He didn't act like his father anymore. He didn't have no ability like his father had. He was so much different than his father that you could not even associate them together. But one day he said, I'm buried. I can't break these shackles. I'm eating hog food. I remember. My memory's coming back. I remember the servants in my father's house had more than I've got over here. There were servants and I was a son. I know what I'll do. I will arise. I will go back to my... He never forgot the way. He remembered how to return. There's people on these pews this morning. You remember the years in Sunday school, kindergarten class. You look around here and you say, well, she used to teach me. She, oh, your shatala baka. You remember the children's choruses. You remember singing in front of the congregation on Sunday morning. You remember all the, they were buried. They were buried when you come in church today. But all of us that come up memory, you saw these children up here. I used to do that. You saw the choir. I used to be there. I used to inhale. People are going to be saying, I used to. I used to. And it won't do you any good to say, I used to inhale. You could sit here this morning and say, I used to be happy. I used to be full and fulfilled. I used to have a future in front of me, but I let something bury it. I let the life that I live heap itself upon me, and I'm nowhere near what I used to be. I'm nowhere near what I should be. I'm nowhere near what I could be. I think I know what I need to do. I need to arise. I need to get up. You can do that when you can't do anything else. You might not sing a song. All the future, all the past that you used to do may be gone, but you can get up. The hardest thing you're ever going to do, the hardest thing you're ever going to do in your life is manage the strength to get up. Hell's telling you you can't get up. Satan is saying you can't get up. But God is saying, I say unto you, arise, arise. Knees that were weak under the burden of sin, trembling, quivering, that couldn't hold you up, all of us strength comes because you heard a voice saying, arise, arise, kashama. And what you could not do now, you can do. What you would not do now, you do it. Speak, Holy Ghost. Somebody has the interpretation. Oh, God. I've set this place in motion for you today. I've retained and restrained this pastor from going down the direction that he planned, even though he sought my face. But I've changed the plan and the order. Because I've seen you. I know you. You used to be in my family, but now you're no longer there. But I welcome you to come back. I welcome you to enter back into the joys of the Lord. All you need to do is say yes. Would somebody raise their hand? Let me finish my there's somebody in the old home place waiting for you to come home. Somebody has not given up hope on you. God help a man when he has no hope. Somebody still believes that at some point you're going to come home. They're looking for you. They still got your bedroom. They still got your wardrobe. They still got the recipe of cooking what you used to like. They still, when they get ready to go out to church, oh God help me. They look around because they were so used to you following them. They want to see, are you following me now? Somebody raise your hand. There was somebody waiting. The boy in his unrecognizable condition. See, sin distorts you. Sin makes grotesque people. You used to be kind, now you're curlish. You used to be gentle and long-suffering, now you're ill and irritated. And I can understand that because people can't be peaceful when a storm is raging in their heart. Do you believe I'm talking to you? But that boy's father said they can give up on him. The neighbors can send him away. But I ain't never going to give up on him. Ever. Ever. Well, if it's nothing but a bag of bones left, I'm still going to be standing by my doorway. He's coming home. He's coming home. The boy didn't look like himself. His potential's gone. His future's gone. He's crushed. He's humbled. Because that's what life does. It buries you. You're still a skeleton. You're still walking around with a heartbeat, but you're not what you were. It buries you. You're walking dead. And but for the grace of God, you would slip and fall, never to get up again. You say, preacher, I don't like this Easter stuff. We come here out of courtesy because our cousin invited us. Who shall I obey? Your whims or the Spirit of God? Whose priority in this? You're just trying to get out of a few minutes of condemnation and conviction. I'm trying to get you out of hell. He's lost his identification. He's lost his potential. He's lost his reputation. He's lost it all. Flushed down the toilet. The only thing he didn't lose was his memory of how to get back home. But guess what? You've heard the story so long, you knew it before I would even tell it. Standing there, looking down that driveway, was an old gray-headed man. The older brother had no compassion. I've seen him. I've met him. You want to turn him out? They ain't got no business being a part of our church. I've met those stupid older brothers. I have no use for them. I have no patience with them. They don't know what compassion is. They don't know what forgiveness is. They don't know what reconciliation is. Leave them alone. Let them do what they want to. Just reach for the man that's lost. That old gray-headed dad was standing there. I see something. I know that footstep. It don't look like my boy. It don't favor my boy. He's all tattered and ragged. He's not well kept. He looks like he squandered, and he did. It looks like he squandered everything. But I see something in him that I cannot deny. I see my image. It's dirty. It's smutty. It stinks. It's rotten. But it's my image in him. You know what the father did? He didn't wait and sit down for a conference and say, I'm going to give you 30 days. He ran. He ran. He ran. He didn't say, when you get a bath, come meet me and I'm going to hug you now. He stunk. But the father said, that's my boy. That's my son. I'm willing to get stinking a little bit for my boy to come home. I'm willing to put my arms around him and get mess on me for him to come home. I want him to know I want him. I was that boy one day, you were. I was that person, 29 years old, living irresponsible, thinking life was a 7-day-a-week party. But one day I remembered Sunday school. One day I would ride by that little church in Plymouth. I didn't like to ride by it because it would always make something guilty feeling in my mind. But I was riding by it one day about dark, and I heard a song on the radio. See, now I turn the radio on, all I can find is rotten mess. Back then, as a sinner, all I could find was Christian stuff. And I had the radio turned on. And they were singing a song, I will never forget it. There's a lighthouse on the hillside. that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed about, it sends out a light that I may see. I said, that's within 7 days, my life had changed. The things I used to do, I didn't do anymore. People fell on me. They forgave me. I'm closing. You say this is too stern. I want it more general than this. I'm trying to jolt you. I'm trying to shock you. I'm trying to tell you that the best thing that could ever happen to you is if I stir you up, if the Holy Ghost stirs you up enough to get you in this altar and repent, you're going to hug everybody's neck in this building that will let you. Buried. But Jesus came to the tomb and he said, arise. Lazarus came out of the tomb. Jesus is walking down these pews and he's saying to you, in spite of what your mind is telling you that you can't get up, I'm telling you to get up. Get up! From where you're seated, the musicians are going to come. Do you believe? I'm not asking for your sanction, but I'm asking, do you believe what I preach today? You can flat believe I didn't have it lined out, but I felt the push. I remember the Sunday morning that Kenny Pitts was sitting right over there. And you could see on his face that he was tired of the direction he was going. Hold your hand up, Brother Kenny, so they know he was tired. Come back to church that night, had his highway patrol uniform on, commanding looking. But he hit this altar, and his life was revolutionized, changed. I remember Johnny Toler. I remember Kenny Keach, Fred Squires, all around. I remember these people. I'd like to have some more memories. I'd like to have some more. Carol Alligood lived in a neighborhood and spit and hit the church and wouldn't come. But one day, Jesus spoke and said, come out. And he put a smile on her face. He put love in her heart. And this morning, her brother Skip is in church. Hold your hand up, Skip. Man, I got a lot of issues. My hands shake now when they didn't used to shake. I stagger a little bit when I didn't used to stagger. But I still got the same agenda. I still got the same push, the same drive. Jimmy Hedgepeth, I remember. I could just go on and on. Would you bow your head? Father, it's Resurrection Day. It's time today for people to come out of the grave, come out from under the stuff they've been buried under, habits and social things and issues. It's time that they hear you speaking to them in the name of Jesus. They're going to play softly. Anywhere in this auditorium, you say, preacher, I've been in that burial detail. I feel the debris of the world on my shoulders, and I need prayer. Would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? There's such a thing as getting buried so deep that you never come out. That you just never come out. I'm going to ask you to stand. They're going to start singing something of their choice. I feel drained. I'm fighting for something that only the Holy Ghost can do. That's your soul. I thought about Paul the apostle speaking to the Jewish people, and he said, I would that I would be accursed for my brother and the Jewish people. You know what that means? I would go to hell for my brethren. I love y'all individually and collectively, but I've not reached that point. And I doubt if you have. The altar is beckoning people to come. It's an unspoken, but it's a spirit that's saying you need to step out. So whether you raise your hand up or not, I'd like to see the altar get full. Just step out right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing what you're going to do, and then we'll... Wait another moment, another few seconds. I just feel like that Jesus. There are still some that need to respond.
Jesus.
Oh God. Could I get, as they're singing, Shannon's here praying. He's laying his life down on the altar. Jody's here. Different ones, Brandy and Brooke. Could I get people to come and just show support, stand with these and do that. Would you do that?
Lord, I'm coming.
Oh God.
Coming.
Oh God.